As volunteers spanned out across the valley overnight to conduct the annual point-in-time count of the number of homeless individuals living on the street, let's turn now to a story about the ongoing debate over homeless encampments in cities.
In December, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that said cities cannot criminalize homelessness when no shelter space is available. It means to ticket or arrest a person for sleeping outside when there are no other options constitutes cruel and unusual punishment.
The case began 10 years earlier in Boise when six people who had been homeless were cited for sleeping on public property and sued the city over it. Since, the city of Boise has amended its policy to only cite people who refuse services when they are available.
For more on how the compromise is working in Boise, our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke with Jody Peterson, executive director of Interfaith Sanctuary Homeless Shelter, a homeless services organization in Boise.
Well, it's working great. I mean, in 2019, a total of two camping tickets were written for the entire city and the entire year. The way that our ordinance reads is that when there is room in the shelter, it is illegal to sleep outside. So that means if a police officer comes across someone and they're sleeping outside, they call my shelter or the other two shelters and we say there's space, they have room to write a ticket. But that's not really what happens because it's not as simple as that. A lot of the police officers know our homeless. And so on a given night, someone who may be utilizing my shelter may have had a behavioral issue. And so we've asked them to sleep out for 24 hours and cool down. And the police officer knows and understands that that person is out for one night and he's not going to write them a ticket.
It sounds like this has really improved the relationship just between organizations like yours, the homeless, and then with law enforcement.
Well, that's exactly what I do think happens, because in 2015, we had an encampment and the city of Boise broke that encampment up. In the time since then, we've improved so much in how we work as shelters, how we work out on the street, how we work with the police department and emergency services, that we all kind of were an outreach team. And so we do have such a better understanding of the different people who are currently without a home.
Are there fewer people living on the streets now than there were back then as a result of this kind of conversation that's happened?
Absolutely. I mean, we had a pretty large encampment in 2015 that grew up right behind my shelter. And for a while, there was a way to kind of learn about them and visit with them and see what their needs were and why they were choosing to be outside. And when the city of Boise actually broke that encampment up, it was messy for a while. But I think those of us who worked within that encampment learned how to provide service to the different people who make up a homeless population. We got better at it. We learned how to attach easier. And so we have very few people that choose to be outside on any given day.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I had, right? So as you explained, this ruling, it's only unconstitutional when there are no other options, right? So if there's a shelter space, a person chooses not to go, they can be arrested.
Yes.
But you're saying essentially that doesn't happen anymore because you've been able to create such a better line of communication with the people who, quote unquote, used to choose to live on the street.
Yes. Yeah, I think relations are better across the board, understanding is better, that not everyone on every given night is suitable to go inside a shelter for some very, very good reasons. And we all recognize that now. And we work with it. We work outside the lines to accommodate different needs.
Has this also improved your ability as an organization that works to get people off of the streets and maybe into housing? Has it helped people with the next step, getting them into more permanent situations?
Yeah, I think personally for our organization, we learned a lot from working with people who were out on the street. We used that time well and figured out what they were needing and what they weren't getting and what was holding them back. And so we brought that programming into our shelter. We made it a safer space for them to be. We created a mental health program, a recovery program. We put a preschool into the shelter. So we added a lot of support pieces that needed to entice people to come in and let us help them. We made it easier.
What do you think that other cities could learn from your experience, having gone through this and come out the other end in a positive way?
Well, I think that when you have a group of people collected together, you have a wealth of knowledge within that group. And by shunning them and pushing them away and not helping them be comfortable for a time and learning about how they could be best served, you're actually creating your own failure. Because when you become their friend and their advocate and you learn what the needs are group by group, you will find that there's a way to wrap services around them. And it might not happen instantly, but when rapport and trust are developed, suddenly these services seemed frightening. Now they're willing to go in and explore because they're not nervous, scared, traumatized, judged. So it's changing the disposition of how you treat your homeless community and being part of their team. I mean, I work with 164 guests every day and I learn something every day. They make me better.
All right. That is Jody Peterson, Executive Director of the Interfaith Sanctuary Homeless Shelter in Boise, Idaho. Jody, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That Ninth Circuit ruling is now enforceable throughout the entire judicial district, including here in Arizona. So how is law enforcement here approaching people who are living on the streets in light of that? And what else is needed to fix the problem?
For more on that, Lauren spoke with Lisa Glow, CEO of Central Arizona Shelter Services in downtown Phoenix.
Well, police and community bridges and nonprofits are going out to offer services at encampments. So they're not powerless to act under this new ruling or the fact that the Supreme Court refused to hear the case. Mm-hmm. So they're going out really with the services first approach. The problem is we don't have enough shelter beds, but we have not seen any kind of ticketing or criminalization in Phoenix. That hasn't been the approach like it was in Boise and no longer is.
What are your impressions of how this has played out in Boise in terms of how the city has coped with this problem and changed things since that case was filed?
Well, I think it's a positive sign that the city and the shelters are working together to find solutions. That's really what we all need to be doing across the country because this is a national issue. So bringing people to the table with new ways of looking at this, because it's costly to ticket and fine people and put them in jail, and it doesn't solve the problem. So I think that's a real positive step.
Do you think that same kind of positive action is happening here in Phoenix or could happen here in Phoenix as well?
Yes, I do think that could happen here in Phoenix. I know that the city of Phoenix and other cities want new solutions to homelessness. What we need to happen really, though, is we need more emergency shelter beds across the region. Mm-hmm. And that's where there needs to be more of a step up. We're working on that. The Human Services Campus is working on that. It's critical we figure out how to get more emergency shelter beds. And that's where it gets controversial, certainly. We also need more housing. I will say this is not just a city issue. It's also for our state and our county and our communities to help us solve it. It is far more complex than trying to break up encampments.
Give us a sense of why that is.
Well, so if you break up an encampment, people will move elsewhere if there's no shelter for them or if there's no housing. And many, many people who are on the streets want shelter. They want to end their homelessness. And we don't have the shelter, the housing, or the appropriate resources, specialized kind of services to help folks that are on the streets. So then it just keeps spiraling into more homelessness.
So in your mind, this is less about breaking up encampments here and more about making sure the beds are available for those folks so that they don't have to be in them.
Right. There's really several levels of this. We need to be preventing people from becoming homeless, and Maricopa County still has the second highest eviction rate in the nation. We don't have enough affordable housing and rents are rising. So we need to do more on the prevention end of it. And there are some efforts. We need to do more to get people off the streets when they become homeless and then to help them end their homelessness quickly. And that's going to require more affordable housing. And we really need a plan. We don't have a plan for this, a statewide plan. I think we need a statewide task force that is focused on this. We need a regional plan. And that's why it'll be interesting to watch Boise, how they deal with this. Maybe they'll be leaders in stepping up with planning. Of course, Phoenix is a much larger city. Mm-hmm. the fifth largest in the nation. So we need a plan. We need shelter. We need housing. We need specialized services, mental health services for seniors, and so on.
And this, of course, as you allude to there, comes at a time when we're seeing rises in the number of unsheltered homeless people. The point in time homeless count just happened over last night, right? So are you expecting to continue to see a rise here?
I am certain we'll see a rise. Every year for the last 4 years, the unsheltered count in Maricopa County, where we have the highest percentage of unsheltered, has gone up about 25%. And if you just look around on the streets, you'll see it's going to be higher. The point in time count doesn't really give us the most accurate picture because we don't count people who are maybe couch surfing or who are hiding from being counted. And that's widely known across the country. So the good thing about this Boise case is it's getting us talking about solutions. And I'm glad that's happening in their community. And we need that everywhere. And I think we are beginning in that direction, certainly with things going on at the state legislature last year and this year, and things going on at the cities. I think we're moving in that direction.
So what would success look like in your mind in terms of how law enforcement approaches and communicates with people who are living on the streets as we see those numbers rise and in light of this case in Boise?
Well, what I think success would look like is law enforcement side by side with nonprofits and with the support of the cities would be going to encampments and offering services, but also being able to offer shelter is missing. We don't have enough emergency shelter. I do think this is the direction we're moving in. Law enforcement has always worked with the nonprofit community and the cities, but their hands have been tied when there's not enough shelter.
All right, that is Lisa Glow, Chief Executive Officer of Central Arizona Shelter Services. Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lauren.
We also reached out to Phoenix Police about how they are handling homeless encampments in light of the ruling. We've not yet received a reply.